Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
Let's clap your hands, all you nations, and shout to God with cries of joy. For the Lord Most High is awesome, and the great King over all the earth. Trust God that He will always be with us. He will always provide a way when there seems to be no way. I think of things like the story of Abraham and Isaac. Isaac was trusting God. He was ready to sacrifice his son. God provided that ram. He protected Daniel in the lion's den. He parted the Red Seas so the Israelites could escape the Egyptians. He will provide for you. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He did it before, He will do it again.
I worship you.
You're working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here. You're touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here. You're healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you're turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here. You're mending every heart. I worship you. Yes, I worship you.
Stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Wait.
Thankful for the precious blood. He bled and he died and he rose again so that we could have eternal life with him. There is no one else that would do that for you. He is the holy, righteous God, and he's blameless. And even though we are far from perfect, he loves us enough that he died for us. I was a wretch. I remember who I was. I was lost. I was blind. I was running out of time in sin, separated. The breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owed, broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you.
Good morning. Good to be here this morning. I wasn't here last Sunday because I had to work, which is unfortunate because I would rather have been here than working. So it's good to see you guys this morning. So something has been on my mind for quite some time. And even in my course of study for ordination, we're discussing church administration. Exciting, right? Church administration sounds so exciting. But something, there was a constant theme that kept coming up is unity. And it's kind of weird that you would think church administration with unity. But today we're going to focus on unity. So how many of you have heard of the saying, divide and conquer? Right? It's like a military thing where it's kind of a military strategy, right? Do you think that really works in the church, though? Divide and conquer. So we're going to kind of focus on that this morning. If you guys could turn to 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 17, we'll kind of dive into that a little bit, and we'll kind of get some context on this as well. So if you guys would stand as we read God's word this morning. So 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 17, which says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this, one of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius. So no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. You guys may take a seat. So here's a little bit of background on this text. Paul is pleading with the church in Corinth, who has decided to divide themselves among the different leaders. Some leaders were Jewish, some leaders were Gentiles, and a lot of this was to do with the whole thing with circumcision, was part of the thing that if you were Jewish, you had to be circumcised, which that's not what we're focusing on this morning. But there were divisions among the early church, even when they saw everything at Pentecost, where everyone was able to understand everyone that was speaking, right? But as we see in these verses, Paul addresses the factions the church was divided into due to loyalty to one leader over another. You know, I've seen that in church before, where one leader kind of took the show and kind of left the other leadership behind. And unfortunately, I was part of that at one time, where I felt kind of left behind and left to be on my own. But we have to remember, we're not here at this church for Pastor James. You're not here at this church to hear me speak. Because if that were the case, you probably would run out the doors if you had to hear me every Sunday. But God wants us to be unified, right? He wants to see us working together. I also see division in amongst ministries within the church at times. You know, and this isn't necessarily saying that we have this issue in our church, but I just want to remind you of those things so we can guard from those things from happening. But I've seen leaders be like, well, this is my ministry. This is what I've developed. And sometimes that worries me when I hear that. Because who gave you the ability to do that ministry? Who gave you the vision for that ministry? It wasn't your own desires. And if it is your own desires, it's probably not going to work out too well. But here's that reminder that we need to remember that it's not about what we do. Yeah, God wants to see us do great things. But if we do it in our name instead of his name, we don't accomplish what our goal is. Let's look at Luke 11:17, which says, Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall. So again, let's think about some things that we see in the church that might cause a division. And this is the biggest thing that Satan uses in churches, dividing us, separating us from each other. You know, I've seen division come from silly things like what color to make the carpet. And I don't know about you, but there's churches that were built in the 70s that have this terrible orange carpet. I don't know if you've ever been in one of those sanctuaries, but I've been in one of those in that ugly orange carpet. I'm sorry, hopefully I don't offend anybody by that, but it's that ugly orange. But I've seen division over just how to make the house of the Lord look. Or what color should we paint the walls? What we should be wearing at church. You know, I think about this and I think of how sometimes legalism can creep into our church as well. That, oh, well, you're not welcome unless you look a certain way. You're not welcome unless you already have your life together. And I've seen that in churches many times where it's like, well, you have to have it together to be able to come into the building. I don't know about you, but I would rather have a church full of people that are needing God's presence in their lives than a bunch of perfect people with suits on. Because the moment that we see that in our church, we're not so perfect. You know, we could keep talking about different things. We can talk about minor things. We can talk about big things that cause division in church. But with all joking aside and looking at these minor things, we look at the title of the sermon this morning, and it said, Divide and Be Conquered. That's what Satan's goal is, to divide us and conquer us. That's what he uses more than anything. Even good things that we think are good can separate us from God. Because we have the wrong focus. We have the focus on what we're doing instead of what God's doing. Again, Satan wants to divide us. He can't take every one of us on all at once. Again, that shows that unity makes us so much stronger. You know, Satan does divide. I know that there was times in my life where Satan would isolate me from everyone I loved, because of the selfishness in my heart, the guilt in my heart for the things that I had done to hurt my family. And Satan creeped into that situation and made things even worse, because he separated me from the people that were there for me the most, that God had put in my life for me the most. So when we think of unity, it's really being of one mind.
Does that mean we have to agree on everything? No, because as humans, we all have different views on things. We all have different ways that we want to do things. But when we look at Philippians 2:2-4, it says, "Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others." Again, we don't have to agree with one another. And I think sometimes when we think of compromise, we don't really like that idea, right? Because, well, my idea is the best, so let's go with mine, right? We don't want to compromise because we already feel that ours is the best. But also, I think sometimes when we think of compromise, we think, are we compromising our biblical faith because of not totally agreeing or agreeing with someone? You know, we see compromise all the time being a good thing because it shows that we're working together. Even if we have different thoughts, it shows that we are unified when we're able to come together and compromise and do what God's will is. You know, I think the one thing we have to remember is always to hold to the truth and to holiness that God calls us to. And we have to be willing to change if needed. I know a lot of people don't like that word change. I don't really like the word change either. And there's been a lot of change in my family's life here recently. But change sometimes is what needs to be done, because sometimes doing things the way we've always done it doesn't always work. We need to be willing to change and be unified together. Because one of the most important things about a church being unified is that we can reach so many more people when we're unified and together. You know, when we think about that one that we're looking for, we need to be unified in prayer for that one person that one person's praying for. We shouldn't be just focusing on that one person that God has laid on our hearts, but be praying for everyone's one that they're looking for to find Christ. You know, it's interesting to see that the church, even in its beginning, struggled with some of these things too. And I think maybe it was because there was so much uncertainty in those times with persecution. You know, we don't face nearly as much persecution as the early disciples and apostles of Jesus. They faced so many different things. Like we had John that was boiled in oil and survived. You know, God uses those people to make a difference. But the people following them decided, hey, we're just going to follow what Paul says because we like what he said, what Paul says, not what Jesus really had said. We have to be careful that we don't follow someone, but we follow Christ. You know, when I think about ministry, I think about, well, it's my ministry. And like I said at the beginning, sometimes I think when we claim it as our own, we lose the focus on who really has given us that word. I always want God to be able to speak through me, not me speaking for God, but God speaking through me. So one thing that I really believe helps with unity is love for one another. And a perfect example is in John 13:34-35, which says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." I think that's the biggest guard against division is love for one another. Because if we truly love each other as Christ would want us to love each other, we're not going to do horrible things to each other. We're not going to stab each other in the back. we're not going to be defensive. We're going to come together and work together, even if we can't, even if we disagree and butt heads, as humans usually do. We live in a world where there's always constant conflict, right? We see it in the Middle East. We've seen it in our own country, right? And, you know, I think about with my kids, there's times I don't really like my kids very much, if I'm being honest. But listen, this is where I'm getting with this. But I will always love my kids. You know, I think God kind of looks at us sometimes and doesn't really like us too much because of what we've done, right? But he loves us so much that he gave us the ability to conquer those things through the blood of Jesus Christ. Love conquers everything. And I think love always comes back into my mind whenever I'm preaching on anything. Is that if there's not love in anything that we do as Christians, we're missing the mark. You know, God challenges us to live differently. And that's what sanctification really is where we choose to follow God's will instead of our own will. And I think when we can become unified on what God's will is for our life and for our church, when we get that, we'll grow like nothing. Like, God will bless us with so many different things. And growth doesn't necessarily mean in numbers, but growth in the spirit in our church. Yeah, I would love to see this place overflowing with people, but I also want to see God's spirit in here, moving, unifying us, making us become one unit. You know, when we think about the body, if something isn't functioning properly in the body doesn't work like it's supposed to. And that's what the church is a body that works together. And if one part's weaker, we have to have that another part come along and help lift that part back up. You know, we each and every one of us have our own strengths in the church. And I think God wants to utilize those things in each and every one of us. It's not just about being saved and allowing Christ into your heart. It's the living the lifestyle that Christ would want you to live. And that's the way of holiness. And, you know, in the Nazarene church, that's a big focus is holiness and reflecting what God is. Does that mean we have to be perfect? No, not by any means. Because if that were the case, we would all fail horribly. But that's why God has us together, to help one another, to unify us, bring us together. Because, again, when we're together, we're a lot stronger than when we're divided. Again, divide and be conquered. But if we stay together, we can accomplish things for God that we've never seen before. Not because of our own abilities, but because of what God puts in us. So the challenge I have for you guys this morning is, if you have a disagreement with someone in the church, don't get angry and separate yourself from them. Come to that person and work it out between you and that person and with God. It's okay to disagree. It's okay. But when we decide to have it divide us and separate us, that's when it becomes a problem. Again, divided and we are conquered. We don't want that to be the case, right? We don't want to see our church divided. And again, I'm not saying that I see that in our church, but I want us to be guarded from that. Because I think sometimes when there's transition in a church, Satan can kind of use those little things that we're trying to work out together to benefit him. Again, we're stronger together when we allow God to work in our hearts, and that we don't say it's about me, but it's about God and his will. You know, I was just thinking about how Elijah would not let go of me this morning. And I thought, man, I'm going to have to get up there with this 3-year-old and preach. But something came to my mind when that was happening. How often do we need to do that with God? Is connect with him. Kind of like Velcro to God when we're facing a lot of uncertainty. I know that's kind of off of from the topic of my sermon this morning, but that was something that I think God kind of revealed to me today. Is that sometimes we need to abide in him when we're facing hard times. And abide in him to bring us together. So let's pray this morning. I'm going to get you guys to lunch a little early this morning. How does that sound? Sound good? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for everyone that's here this morning. I came to worship you this morning, and I'm so thankful to worship with them. Lord, so often we see so many things in our church that divide us, that pull us apart, pull us from away from you. But Lord, I ask that you would remind us how when we are together, we can do so much more. Lord, if we're dealing with things in our own hearts, with people in the church, we need to go to them and work those things out. We can't be fully effective in your will if we're not fully surrendered and focused on you and not on our own selfish desires. Lord, may we be able to surrender our own selfish desires so we can be in the center of your will. Because I'm telling you what, living in the center of your will is the most amazing thing we can ever do. Because God already knows where it's going to take us. The plans God has for us are so much bigger than the plans that we have for ourselves. And Lord, may you reveal what that plan is to us. Lord, I ask that you would just be in the church across the world that struggles with this demon of division within the church that Satan seems to always try to work in. But Lord, may we stand firm in you, and stay unified together in you, that when those attacks come, we can stand firm and make it through those challenges. Lord, again, I ask that you be with each and every person in this room this morning. And again, reveal anything to us that might be separating us from you and separating us from other people in our church. And may you help us mend those relationships. Help us to forgive one another. Help us to love one another as you have loved us. Lord, go with us. Help us to shine the light of you in this world. May we show people how different you have made us. And may we be a light that points towards you. Lord, again, be with us as we leave this place. Be with those that are struggling this morning. Give them comfort and give them peace. And it's in your name we pray.